Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. There are a variety of treatments for people who suffer from the brain disorder known as OCD, or obsessive compulsive disorder. Treatments such as cognitive behavior therapy have been effective in helping many patients who deal with the disorder, which can cause severe and often crippling anxiety.
But one of the shortcomings to the treatments that exist is that they rely on a patient's ability to have access to a mental health provider, which isn't always easy. But a research study being carried out by an area hospital seeks to reduce or eliminate that barrier. Dr. Brad Riemann is the clinical director of the OCD Center and Cognitive Behavioral Therapy Services at Rogers Memorial Hospital in Oconomowoc and leads the effort to test an app designed to help patients treat their OCD. He's with us in the studio to explain. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, so let's talk about this research study, because there have been a number of ways that OCD has been treated historically. Why are you looking at adding to the repertoire, if you will?
Sure. That's a great question. You know, thankfully, there are some very effective treatments for OCD. Unfortunately, however, many people suffering from OCD don't have access to this treatment, in part because there are very few centers of excellence. So geographically, many times people don't have access to these treatment centers. And then secondly, just from a cost standpoint, even if geographically available, it may not be financially available.
So the app is the new part of this, right? I mean, you have used computer technology to work on treating OCD in the past already.
This work is actually something that's been we've been working with for probably over two decades. And the bottom line is really that previous research has shown us that people with OCD and anxiety disorders kind of have this radar out, and they're constantly kind of scanning their environment for things that we would technically call threat cues. But basically, they're scanning their environment for things that that cause them anxiety, that scare them. So, for example, a very common type of OCD is the fear of germs or contamination. So someone with this kind of concern would be constantly scanning their environment for signs that maybe someone might be ill. So they might pick up the fact that somebody has maybe wiped their nose a couple of times sitting around a meeting table or something, whereas people without OCD would never even pay attention to that. So this radar we call is kind of this attention bias, or this bias in their attention. And that seems to be, at this point, a fueling source for this concern. And we've done research and developed a computer program that really targets this attention bias and has been found to kind of shut this radar down.
Well, and so this is the kind of behavior that I think historically you might go after with what, cognitive behavior therapy?
Correct. Yep, that's absolutely right. The treatment of choice is actually a specific technique out of cognitive behavioral therapy known as exposure and response prevention. Very, very effective. But again, unfortunately, few people have access to this kind of treatment. And ERP has actually also been found to shut this radar down. But this computer program really targets it, and our hope is to really make it much more accessible to people so that they can reduce their symptoms.
Well, right. So heretofore, the technology has been available, but in a desktop kind of format, which I imagine is not quite as convenient.
Yeah, and the word available is also a part of the problem. In other words, we have published multiple studies that have found the desktop-sized version to be effective, but it's never gone from the lab to the sufferer. So part of this is also not only trying to shrink it and put it on an app to make it more accessible, but then also trying to do something about getting it into the public's hands.
So realizing that there will be things that you can't tell us, what can you tell us about how this app works?
Yeah, the good news is this program, again, that we've studied before, has been found to be very effective as a standalone treatment. So it shuts down this radar, as I'm calling it, and reduces obsessive compulsive disorder symptoms significantly. But it's also been found to be a good treatment enhancer. In other words, for those that do have cognitive behavioral therapy access, if you combine that effective treatment with this computer program, you actually enhance your effect or get even better still. This particular program really is very individualized. So we're looking at words that are associated with these things that people with OCD found to be scary or anxiety-producing. So, for example, if you would have multiple people with this condition, every word list would look different. It's very individualized. So, again, getting back to my contamination concern, This person's word list might be things about germs or HIV or whatever it might specifically be. And someone else with OCD might have a very different presentation and have a very different word list. And we basically have created a program that presents these words also with neutral words, words that they don't find scary. Then basically through a system or of this program, we're redirecting this person's attention away from those scary words onto the neutral words. And believe it or not, in about 15 published studies, we have found this to be very effective in reducing the symptoms of OCD and anxiety.
So again, returning to the germ example, if you will, and of course, as we're sitting in the studio, I'm pointing at the hand sanitizer.
I saw that.
Someone who is dealing with OCD as it pertains to fear of germs, they hear a word and they turn to their app?
Well, this would be something that would be done much more proactively. So,
okay.
For example, in the studies, it would be done multiple times a week. It takes about 12 to 15 minutes to do. We would encourage them to do it at least twice a week, even more often than that if they can, daily, for example. And over the course of about a month, patients will tell us that they are no longer paying as much attention to these kinds of cues that they find spontaneously occurring throughout their day, and they will report to us on very kind of valid and reliable measures of OCD severity, less symptoms.
So you're essentially desensitizing them.
Well, it's possible that's part of it, kind of based through the old exposure, right? So we were just talking about the treatment of exposure. So there is probably an exposure element to looking at these words that they find frightening or associated with concepts that they find frightening. But I think more specifically than that, we are redirecting their attention. So it's not just kind of getting used to the words, and it is absolutely kind of shutting that radar down.
Can you give us an example of like a fear-triggering word and what the neutral word that you would connect it to might be?
Sure. You know, in the classic studies, we were trying to get as sophisticated as we could and tried to rule out any other kind of explanation. So, for example, in an OCD contamination study, the word germs, five-letter word, and we would match it, say, for example, with table, which is also a five-letter word. So we tried to match these words for word length. Believe it or not, there's actually a book that tells us how often words are used in the English language, and we would even match them for usage in the English language, basically trying to rule out that a shorter word or a longer word might draw someone's attention more than something else, or that words that we're more familiar with might draw your attention. So we really tried to rule out any other explanation. You know, so that would be an example of a word that we might match it with. And the idea is we present these words on the screen for a half a second. This is not subliminal. Everybody can read them. And then they disappear. And then there's a task that we ask people to do. There's a probe, if you will, that's embedded in the next screen that we ask somebody to identify as quickly and as accurately as they can. And the positioning of this probe is kind of the key thing to basically retraining their attention. And essentially what we do is teach them to kind of retrain them to draw their attention away from those threat words onto those neutral words. And unfortunately, I can't get into too many more specifics because I'd be giving some of the secret sauce away. And any of your listeners who might be interested in participating, unfortunately, we would probably cancel their participation out.
Do you think, I mean, is there a certain subset of patients out there for whom doing this via app might seem less threatening to them than seeking out a face-to-face treatment?
No question. You know, technology is going to be part of the future of psychiatry and psychology no matter what, whether it's in this kind of a version or even using, say, for example, telehealth. Many, many patients report feeling less anxious about visiting with their psychologist or psychiatrist over a television screen than actually face-to-face in the office. They find it less threatening. Clearly, for some anxious people, this is going to be less anxiety-producing, which hopefully would increase their compliance. But also, of course, with the app that we're talking about, people could do it at the convenience of their schedule. I mean, this could be something they could do at 10 o'clock at night or at Saturday mornings at 7:30 in the morning, you know, whenever they can find time. And so that convenience piece, because clearly what you're always trying to do is no matter how effective a treatment is, compliance with that treatment is going to be, of course, the key. And so making it more user-friendly is just going to increase compliance.
Can you walk us through how you were trying to recruit people for this research?
You know, we're looking for adults, ages 18 to 65, men and women, people who have a primary diagnosis of OCD. People can be receiving medications, but we're looking for stability in that medication type and dosage. So we would be asking them how, you know, when was the last time that medication might have been altered or changed. And we are running the study in both our Brown Deer location and our Oconomowoc location. We are compensating people for their participation. They will come in for one kind of initial screening session that will take maybe perhaps a couple of hours. And then twice a week, really, for the next 4 weeks. So 8-hour-long sessions to basically go through the app and answer some simple questions for us. And that's kind of it. And at that point, we would be kind of also cracking the code, as they say, and because half of the individuals will be put in our placebo condition, half will be put in the active condition, and those that got placebo presumably will not have really benefited, and then we'll also offer them the active so that they could perhaps get whatever benefit that program can produce.
There is a placebo app.
Correct. Yep. Yeah, and again, I can't
give away
too many details.
That's all right. I'm just fascinated by this idea.
Yeah, but the app, and to the untrained eye, the it's a perfect sugar pill. In other words, the placebo app looks identical except for one important but minor variation, and that's, again, kind of the piece that is going to help us retrain people's attention away from what they find threatening and thus reduce their symptoms.
Fascinating stuff. Thank you so much. Best
Thank
of luck
you.
With your work.
Thank you very much for having me.
Dr. Brad Riemann is the clinical director of the OCD Center and Cognitive Behavioral Therapy Services at Rogers Memorial Hospital in Oconomowoc. You can find a link to more about the research study he's leading at wuwm.com.